Welcome to Career Tours. This week, second interviews. The questions this cast answers are: how should I prepare for a second interview? What should I put special attention on when preparing for a second interview? And what questions will I get in a second interview? Sarah, second interviews with the same company are really common. Some companies put on a day of interviewing and you interview with the manager and part of their team and it's all back to back on one day. But a lot of companies will do a single interview on one day and then have you back a week later or 2 weeks later because they've interviewed a number of people sort of at round one, and then they only bring back the people they really liked in round two, and they want to have a further discussion. They want to feel like they get to know you a bit more. And, you know, often people let their guard down in a second interview. So that's another good reason to do one. So in this class, we're going to cover what it's like to go to a second interview, what kind of questions you're going to ask her, and what you should do differently and what you should do the same from your first interviews.
So today's outline. Number one, normal interview rules apply. Number two, do the same preparation. Then three, prepare for areas of concern. Four, prepare for areas discussed. And number five, close. So let's start with normal interview rules apply. Whether the second interview is with the same individual, right, same interviewer, or just the same company, you're going to relax, right? It's inevitable for you to just be a bit more comfortable. There's more familiarity with the interviewer or the building. And things like that are going to take your nervousness away, right? Your nerves are going to go down. The nerves, though, is what was keeping you on your toes for round one, making sure that you were focused on the very most important things. So for number two, second round, you're going to have to work a bit harder and be more conscious of your behavior in the second interview so that you maintain that same high standard you had for the first interview.
And the most important standard is energy. Energy is so important in interviews. It's almost equal to your actual answers. It's not quite. But energy tells an interviewer that you're going to be an enthusiastic, interesting, interested member of their team. And that's what people really want to hear. They want to hear someone who actually wants to work for them and has some enthusiasm about the things they've done and how it worked out. People underestimate their energy in interviews. In all of the interviews that I've done thousands of interviews, I've never had an interview where I've come out of it and gone, oh, wow, that person was so energetic, I can't imagine having them in my team. And I know a person, a friend of mine, who's just gone to be a professor at the University of Tennessee in Chattanooga, and she never sits still. She's always happy, always smiling, always laughing about something. She's always energetic. And even if I imagine her in an interview, I couldn't imagine her having too much energy for me in an interview. I would employ her every day of the week. So you think, oh, I must be smiling a lot. I must be speaking too fast. I must be speaking loudly. And really, when you look at it from an outside perspective, although it feels that way, it's not really happening. It's not really moving the dial in the way that you think it is. So you can be far more energetic than you think you are. You can be far more energetic than you think you can be. And it's that shows the interviewer that you really want this job. And just because you're closer to the finish line, don't let it slack now. You know, if you imagine somebody running on a track, you know, they don't come around the last corner and then go, oh, well, I'll just take off 10% of my energy now. They don't come around the corner and think, oh, well, I'm almost there and, you know, everyone's still behind me. They run until they cross the finish line. They run as hard as they can. And that's what you've got to do too.
It's really easy at this point to rest on your laurels, right? To relax a bit. If you want to maintain that energy, sit up straight, lean forward a bit in your chair, make eye contact, give answers in full sentences as opposed to one word. Typically, the answers they're going to ask you aren't a binary answer, right? So elaborate, vary your tone of voice as well, and don't answer in a monotone voice when they're talking, when your interviewer's talking, nod at them, right? Smile while they're explaining things, show that you are engaged in what they're saying. And saying words, as simple as saying, I'm really excited about this opportunity. Right? That shows through your behaviors that you're excited, right? Most of all, you're going to smile. Smile the whole time. A lot of us just forget to smile when we're not thinking about it, right? Those D's, those C's, smiling's not natural for, it's not our natural inclination, but you're happy to have gotten a second interview. So you want to make sure that you show that to the interviewer.
Yeah, smiling is so underrated. So next, be on time. So don't think but just because you've made the journey before that you don't need to allow for traffic or delayed public transport or getting lost. These things trip us up all the time, even when we're going to places that are familiar to us. I don't know how many times I have left the local grocery store and driven to the wrong apartment because I moved and my brain has forgotten that. So you want to allow at least as much time as you did for the first interview, or if you were barely on time before, a little bit more time. You want to make sure that you have enough time to make that journey in a calm and peaceful way. You know, you don't want to be fretting about whether or not you're going to get there late or having to run in your suit. That's not good for anyone. So make sure you have enough time. And it's something you might relax on. You're like, oh, I know where it is. But because you haven't been there 20 times before, no, you could still get lost. So make sure you have enough time.
Absolutely. And wear a suit. Take as much care over your appearance as you would or as you did in the very first interview, right? So dress for success, dress for a level beyond what that job is. You're still there to impress them. This is your second impression, sometimes as important, if not more, than the first impression you give them.
Absolutely. Just don't slack. That's the biggest sort of, that's the overall message. Don't slack because you've got a little bit further down the process. And next we have do the same preparation. So even if you're interviewing with the same person, so perhaps you interviewed with the manager for the team in your first interview, and you're going to interview with that manager again for the second interview, it's not uncommon. Be prepared to answer the same questions. Make sure you've prepared and rehearsed your tell me about yourself answer. You might think that the interviewer is not going to ask it again. Right? You answered tell me about yourself in the first interview and you think, oh, he's not going to ask it again. But they have seen dozens of people, perhaps 20, 30 people, depending on what they're hiring for and how much hiring they're doing. They've seen all those people in between you. And so even though they have the notes and they have your resume, they might want you just to tell them, do the tell me about yourself again so that they're refreshed in their mind and they remember what was important about what those things, you know, those high points are so that they can ask more questions about them. And the other reason people might ask you, tell me about yourself again, is because it's a classic relax the candidate question. Most of us can describe our lives. Most of us can talk about ourselves without much practice and in a fairly relaxed way. So tell me about yourself is a classic question for interviewers to ask because they know it's an easy question and that gets you relaxed or at least takes a little way away a little bit of the nerves for very nervous candidates. So even though it seems odd, you may well be asked this question again.
Absolutely. Don't rely on your memory. You want to rehearse and rehearse. And you want to prepare and rehearse your answers about your significant accomplishments, even if they already talked about them, right? Take into account any feedback that you've gotten from your previous interviews. You've got that now. If you know that, for example, if there's a question that's always asked when you give your answer, include that in your answer and rehearse it, right? If there's a part that's confusing or was difficult to say the very first time you answered it, be prepared to change that answer and rehearse the new version in the case that they may ask it again.
Right, that piece about if there's always a question that you get asked is important. For instance, say you are asked about working with a difficult person and you describe working with a person in a data center and you two had the similar jobs, but this person didn't do their job properly. It may be that every time you tell this story, the interviewer says, okay, exactly what was your role and what was their role? They want to know how similar those jobs were, and you've just been describing it as similar. So if you get that, then the next time you give your answer, you want to include that in your answer so that you're not leaving the interviewer with a little bit of vagueness. So the fact that you're asked it is a hint that your question could be more complete, or your answer, I'm sorry, could be more complete. And so that's what you're doing. If you're asked a question to your answer, then include the answer to that question in your answer the next time you give it. There's lots of questions and answers in there. It's a bit confusing.
If the first time around they asked you a question that you were not prepared for, you weren't expecting, try and remember that question and prepare for it to answer it the next time. You want to prepare all those answers about your strengths and your weaknesses, because they're common interview questions. And if you get asked them in the first interview, it is quite likely you're going to get asked those same questions in your second interview. Even if you were asked the first time, you might be asked them again.
Assume that you'll be asked all the same questions as you were previously. So whatever the questions were in the first interview, assume that you're going to be asked all of those questions again, and prepare and rehearse the answers. And that might seem odd that you're going to be that you're preparing as if the second interview is going to be exactly the same questions as the first. But from the hiring manager perspective, it makes sense. They have whittled down all the questions that they could ask, all the thousands of possible questions. They whittled them down to their favorite 8 to 12, because that's how many you can get through in an hour or an hour and a half. Those questions are the ones that are about the most important skills and abilities that you must have to do this job. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask them, right? They have done this sorting process where they've come out with, these are the most important things I want to talk about, and these are the questions I'm going to ask in order to start that conversation. When you come in for a second interview, why would they ask you a bunch of like their second-rate questions? You know, the ones they didn't ask in the first interview, but they'd already discarded as not being so important. It doesn't make sense. In the second interview, they should ask you the more important questions than in the first interview. And so they're going to ask the same questions. It's quite likely that they'll ask the same questions, or they'll ask about things that you talked about in the interview as your answers for those questions. So rehearsing them again makes sense. And it's an easy win, right? If they're going to ask you the same questions, right? You don't know whether they will or not, but we're saying it's possible that they will, probable that they will. If you don't rehearse those answers, you've just missed out on the easiest win that you had in that interview, which is just cutting off your nose to spite your face.
And also, when you're asked the questions, because many times they're going to be the same questions, don't show any disappointment or disdain, frustration, irritation, annoyance that you're being asked the same question again. In fact, we wouldn't recommend you acknowledge at all the fact that this question is one that's been asked before. Same interviewer, different interviewer, it's completely irrelevant. It's as if you were answering it for the very first time, but this time you're more prepared to do it. So being negative about the question, it's really the kiss of death. It shows a bad attitude on your part, right? Don't ever say, yeah, I got this question last time. Or, as I mentioned previously, and then reiterate your answer. In saying things like that, you're passing judgment on the questions and to the face of the person that's asking the questions. And that's not a very endearing quality, right? This is a fresh start. You're answering fresh questions. And no one should know that you've been asked those same questions anywhere ever before. This is like the very first time all over.
So that's preparing for the questions. Now we're going to prepare for areas of concern. So an area of concern is any area that the hiring manager discussed with you and indicated that you were lacking in experience or skills. Now, some hiring managers are really reluctant to give you any clues about your performance in the interview. They won't give you any feedback. They just say thank you for your answer. They don't give you any facial expression, or they don't change the way they're taking notes. All those things might be a hint about the quality of your answer. And for those interviewers, you're just going to have to do your best to read between the lines. You know, there might be two or three questions about a particular topic that seems like it's overweighted for that job. It might seem like they're digging around something that seems a little weird, a little off when I consider the job description. And they might just ask you two or three questions about something that you have difficulty answering. Those are things that are areas of concern, and those are things that you need to prepare answers for. A hiring manager might say, just say outright to you, I don't think you have enough experience in that area. I've been in interviews where hiring managers have done that. And they just say, I don't think you have enough experience. And they wait for the candidate to tell them, oh, yeah, I do have enough experience. I do have the experience you're looking for. It's this and this and this. And maybe that didn't come out in the questions earlier.
Mm-hmm. And you might not have gotten any clues from the interviewer the first time, or sometimes interviewers are really good at interviewing. They smile and they nod even when they know that you're not fully answering the question, right? So you might have gotten a hint about your lack of experience or skills from another hiring manager altogether, from a completely different set of interviews. And those are clues that you can all put into the basket when you're considering, do I have good answers to my questions? Because if you're interviewing for several similar jobs, concerns that one hiring manager has or was willing to express is probably going to apply across the board to all those other applications, all those other jobs. So keep that in mind. As you go through each interview with each company, hone your answers, right? Improve your answers every time.
So you're going to prepare answers for questions around these topics. Look back on your resume and look for evidence that you have the skills that are being looked for. Now, you can't lie. You cannot lie. You cannot make up experience that you didn't have. You can't have experience that you didn't ever, you know, you can't go back to a job and gain more experience. I was recently reading someone's LinkedIn profile, and I was also reading a bio of the same person. And somehow between 2013 and 2017, she'd gone from being a VP of HR to being an SVP of HR in a job that she'd done 10 years ago. It's not possible. It's not possible to gain a better job title in a job you're no longer doing. Much as maybe we would want that to be true, it can't be true. And so we're not going to tell you to do that, right? We're not going to lie. Don't exaggerate your skills or experience, because if you're in the job and you suddenly can't do it, that's a really bad situation to be in. But at the same time, you can make sure that you've looked at your resume and found all the examples that you can give of using those skills or experience, and that you can coherently describe those skills. You're making the best of what you have, not making stuff up, but make sure you're making the best of the experience that you do have.
And then we've got prepare for areas discussed. So during the first interview, the hiring manager's probably going to have given you information about the role, right, what it calls for, about the team, the division, the company, future plans, customers, about maybe some of the problems that they're currently facing in their organization, and so on. Now, a good hiring manager tells you these things so that you can make an informed decisions as to whether or not you want to take that role. And here's some background on us. And you can try and draw some of those things out when you ask your questions of them as well. You can also expect to talk about these items again in the second interview. And you need to be prepared both to answer questions about them and to ask questions about them. Now that you know some of those things, right, some of those, maybe some of the struggles they're having, when you answer your questions, it's going to be helpful for you to explain your answers and how you as an individual could help to better the team, the organization, what skills you bring specifically that you can drive towards improvement on their team.
For example, the hiring manager might have told you that the team is expanding because they have new customers. So you can expect questions about onboarding new customers and developing customer relationships and increasing workload and finding efficiencies and all the things that happen to a team when they get new customers. You can expect those questions. You also can prepare questions. So you might want to ask a question like, I know you're getting a lot of new customers. In this role, what would I need to be doing to make that successful? Or what skills would I be using to make that successful? So you're thinking about the job and what you can do, how you can contribute, like Sarah, like you just said. And by telling you about some of the things that the team is facing, about things that they're expecting to happen, the hiring manager is giving you a clue that this is important. And so having prepared questions about it, as well as being prepared to answer questions about that kind of situation, puts you in a really good place.
Absolutely does. The last piece is close. Make sure you close that interview. Don't forget to ask for an offer. When you're wrapping it up, if you need guidance on how to close an interview, again, our interviewing series, there's a whole podcast on how to close an interview, as well as sending a thank you note. Sending a thank you note to your interviewer. Even if you sent a thank you note the first time around, sending another thank you note. It helps you stand out from the crowd.
And send a handwritten thank you note. I'm not talking about an email here. We're talking about handwriting your thank you notes. And we don't have time to do closing and sending thank you notes right now. But like Sarah says, it's in the interview series if you go to the website. So a second interview means you're one step closer to the offer you want. A second interview is a really good thing. It might be a pain. It might be annoying, you know, not to go straight from the first interview to an offer. But a second interview is a really good sign. It usually means that there are less than 4 people still in the running for that job. So you've got a 25% chance of getting the job, irrespective of your performance. And then if you have a stellar performance, then you're probably going to get the job. We'll think confidently. If you've prepared enough, if you've prepared for the areas of concern, you've prepared the answers that you answered first time around, you've rehearsed those, you've prepared to answer questions about the new things that the team is facing, then you are going to do a great job and you're going to get the job. So don't relax. That's the worst thing to do now, right now, is relax. Can you imagine being a hiring manager and you have someone in for the first interview and they're amazing, and then they come in for the second and they're just kind of flat?
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I found someone. I really thought he was up for this, and now, like, he doesn't seem to care. It's awful. Be your best self, and you will get the job.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
I hope that was helpful. We'll see you again next week.